Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, ladies. Excellent. And I sure do love serving the Lord. And if I'm having this good a time here in a sin-cursed earth, imagine what heaven's going to be like. Man, that sounds good. Psalm 107. As you turn to Psalm 107, I want to share with you just real quick. Luke chapter number 10. I was thinking about this morning in our Sunday school class. Bible says this in Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. He says this, go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. This past weekend, we took a trip. We didn't take 70, but we did take 13. Amen. 13. How many did we bring back? We brought back 13. That's good. I would like to believe that the 13 that we took were not the same that we brought back. That Lord did a work in their heart, and it's always good to be involved in the Lord's work. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 10, that he sent forth lambs among wolves. In verse 17 of that same chapter, and the 70 returned again with joy. Hey, you send lambs among wolves, someone's going to get eaten. All 70 come back. 13 of our young people went to North Philly. If you're familiar with Philadelphia, North Philly is not a place you'd want to call home maybe for yourselves. And at some moments, maybe we felt like lambs among wolves, but and the 70 returned again with joy. And that's a blessing. This morning over at Bible Baptist Church, they had 9 first-time guests along with some people. This was their first service. That church is a beautiful church, and thankful to be over there for the weekend. Appreciate our young people that took time of their life and dealt with us. And praise the Lord. Appreciate Brother Gates, Brother Coyle, and they are good people over there. You pray for Liberty Baptist Church and Bible Baptist Church, and that God would be honored and glorified over there with all that. Psalm 107 this morning. We're going to look at a big chunk of Psalm 107 this morning. We're actually going to get all the way to verse 32 this morning. We'll start by reading the first 8 verses. Psalm 107, starting in verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that he might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. God, I am thankful for your word. God, it is a privilege far beyond what I could even acknowledge to be able to open it up here and share what it is that you've laid on my heart, Lord. Great responsibility. And God, I pray that you would open up our hearts, Holy Spirit of God, that you would work in our midst. And Lord, you would use this message to encourage us, lest we forget that we are called to praise you for your goodness. Lord, we sure do appreciate all of your hands, acts of mercy and grace and kindness toward us. And God, every time that we get ourselves in trouble, we can call upon you and you'll deliver us. Lord, thank you for that truth. Lord, help us to turn to you. Lord, we need you right here, right now. Lord, you know the needs that are here. Maybe not an outward sin, Lord, but maybe something deep within our hearts that needs to be uprooted here this morning. And God, that when we leave here, we'd be closer to thee. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So appreciate the Word of God. Appreciate Psalm 107. What a great, great psalm. We start it. We have 4 points this morning. I think it's interesting. I wrote this on the front of our bulletin this morning. I think it's interesting that we sometimes get complacent or comfortable with the goodness of God. That we just come to expect it, and rightfully so, God is faithful. But sometimes we don't appreciate it. This passage four times calls us, in verse 8, it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness." Four times in this passage, it asks us to do that. And we're going to think about that here today. And within our own hearts, maybe we've gone a week, maybe we've gone 2 weeks, maybe we've gone a month, maybe we've gone years, maybe we've gone decades without thanking God, praising God for his goodness. And we just want to remember that here today. With all that the Lord has done for us, through us, strangely enough, we forget to praise him. How easy it is to forget. How easy it is to forget. Let's look at these first 9 verses or so. The Bible says this, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." The Bible says this, "For his mercy endureth forever." Number one, he has provided for us. We'll talk about it, the earthly provision. But he provided something wonderful, eternal provision. He extended his mercy to us. Jacob, there's some things certainly do not deserve, and God's mercy is right at the top of that list. Been doing some reading about some end times. We read through the book of Revelation, chapter 6 through 19. It's called the Great Tribulation. And we see God's wrath. And I look at where I'm living, and I have not even tasted a bit of God's wrath. Do I deserve it? 100%. But yet the Bible tells me this. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Why? Because he's good and his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord for the mercy of God this morning. Hey, mercy is not getting what we deserve. We are all evidence of that. Our life should have expired a long time ago, and we should have faced a holy, righteous God in full judgment. And yet God, in his mercy, held that off. It tells us this. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Not only has he not brought his wrath upon us, he's extended mercy, he's actually brought us close to him. He's redeemed us. We're very familiar with the word redeem. The top of all of our cans say redemption, 5 cents, right? There's a lot of them in the iceberg out front. If you see, though, if you could get to that box. Anyways, there's a lot of cans back there. And it's just, wait, Christ redeemed us. That's what it said. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Man, it was so neat this past weekend. Again, maybe reference that just because it's fresh in my mind and not because of something better or not. But, you know, to see little Nathaniel knocking on doors, telling people, "Hey, we're starting a church down the way." And, man, seeing him just telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That stirs in your heart. Yes, there were adults. Yes, there were older teenagers. And appreciate all of them. I'm just saying, man, it's good to be able to stand at the door with some confidence. It's good to be able to tell somebody, "Lord, help us if we ever lose our voice for our testimony's sake." All of a sudden, our tongue cleaves to the top of our mouth and we fail to speak of the things of God. Has God not saved us from the pit of hell? Yes. Has he not extended his grace and mercy in our life? Yes. And yet, sometimes it's but a distant word on our mouth. Why is that? Because we fail to praise the Lord for his goodness. Number one, because of his eternal provision. We see his mercy. We see his redemption as we continue the passage. "Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Hey, that's where he found you and I. He had to go on a rescue mission. Isn't that a blessing? Go behind enemy lines. Snatched us right out of the hand of our father to the devil himself. Man, praise the Lord. That's what happens every single time someone comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Rescue mission. Verse 3, "and gathereth them out of the lands." Hey, let's pay attention to this verse. "From the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." Praise the Lord, it is not for one select group of people. Hold your hand in Psalm 107. Go with me to Revelation chapter number 5. I love this verse. I love our choir. Yeah, amen. Love when we get together and sing together. I love to listen to them practice. I wonder if there's going to be practice in heaven. Remember when, I don't know, maybe you would find yourself at the RPO or something like that, right? Ever remember when we used to be able to go do those things? Those were neat. And you'd find yourself sitting at the RPO and listening, and the people would start coming out, and they would just tuning their instruments. It's like, oh, that sounds beautiful. They're not even playing anything. They're just making sure they're all on the same note. And you're like, oh, that sounds wonderful. I wonder what the heaven choir is going to sound like. Look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. And when he had taken the book and the four beasts and the 420 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And the Bible says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Hey, if that's God's plan, we better get in on God's plan. We either got to send them or we personally have to go. There, I don't think there's enough that we could put in the offering plate to support missions. I don't think there's enough trips that we can take with the purpose of going tell the Lord Jesus Christ or telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think there's enough Saturdays out for visitation where I... How many seats do we have to set up Saturday morning for prayer meeting and visitation? Are we going to the east and to the west and the north and the south? Oh, we'll buy a $3,000 plane ticket to go to Zambia, but are we telling our neighbor across the street? We'll send our kids to Philadelphia to go knock doors there. Do we bring them out on Saturday morning here for our people? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, but if it's good for them over there, it's good for them right here. Redemption is not just for that group over there, man, they're addicts. They need the Lord Jesus Christ more than what? I think everybody needs the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we need to be faithful. I don't think we just need to take a trip over to the lands. I think we should do that. I also think we should be faithful in telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Lost guy is not going to say to the lost guy, hey, I think we're missing something. We better get ourselves to church. That doesn't happen too often. It takes a friend. It takes someone to knock at the door. It takes a loved one to say, why don't you come to church with me? Even more than coming to church with me, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Redemption. God has made eternal provision through mercy, through his redemption. An investment in going to the four corners of this earth, north, east, west, and south. The Bible says they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hey, do you understand that there's people just wandering around looking for what you have? A destination ticket, a direction, a purpose. We'll look at it in a moment. A hope. And here we are with the answer. And there they are just wandering around. Lord, help us. Man, I am so thankful I got in. Neither is there salvation by any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Man, there is only one way to heaven, Benjamin, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I both know that. But do we use our voice to let the redeemed of the Lord say so? Do the people at work know that you're a Christian? Do the people at work know that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ashamed of the gospel? So, well, if I start talking like it, I'm going to have to start living like it. Those that preach the gospel ought to live the gospel. Yes, sir. Those people at your school or your neighborhood, do they know that you're a believer? They're wandering. You wandered. Not only does he give us provision in our eternity, he gives us daily provision. Isn't that a blessing? Our children think that there's no food in the house, but there is food. They've never lived in a place where there's no food. Dad, there's nothing to eat. Mom, we got nothing. Well, there's Raisin Bran right there. Yeah, that's good. I'm not eating that. The Bible says this. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Man, isn't it a blessing to have food, water, shelter? Came in this morning, it was, I don't know, maybe 8:30 or so. Walked through the first door. Oh, warm. Walked through the second door. Oh, warm. And then I came in the sanctuary. Oh, here we go. Push through the door. Warm, praise the Lord. Can have church again without parkas on. It's cold out. I'm thankful for food, water, shelter. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, where ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into their barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Yes. Yes, we are better than birds. And fowl. Those geese that mess up the, you know. Bible says you're better than that. Well, we're all God's creatures. Yeah, I know, but he didn't die for the goose. He died for you. And God has provided life. A way to have life. Man, what a blessing that is. I've been hungry before, but I've never hungered. I've never been without. I thank God for that. As you sit down this afternoon and whatever it is, maybe Sundays are your special dinner. And there you are. Maybe you just have leftovers. Maybe Sunday's to clean out the kitchen day. Can I encourage you to use your voice and truly thank God for what he's provided? As you pillow your head at night and you slide into those flannel sheets and you lay there, you don't just have one pillow, you got two pillows because one is too flat. And you, oh, come on. Heated blankets and comforters. You have color schemes to our bedding. You lay there, thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank God for my bed. Man, I love getting into bed. Boom. And I have a clear conscience. I get to bed, boom, out. Most times. Food, water, shelter. Bible says, as we continue, I want you to notice four times, not only in this passage do we see that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, but four times do people cry out to God in their trouble. And the Bible says in verse 6, and he delivered them out of their distresses. I want to encourage you in this thought here this morning, when you're in trouble, cry out to God. Don't try and fix it yourself. Don't try. Hey, you are what got you into the trouble. What makes you think you're going to get it out? I've seen a lot of people, you know, the people that come up from Florida or North Carolina and they got trapped in snow. You see them? They get stuck. And you watch them, and they're just spinning their wheels. Wah! And then the wheel goes, wah! You know, like somehow, and you're just watching the car slide further and further in the ditch. And you're like, stop. You've got yourself in trouble. You need help. And the same thing with you and I. Hey, we get ourselves not thinking right and not good. And we think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull myself out of this. Stop. Cry out to God, and he'll deliver you out of your distress. God has provided eternal provision and daily provision. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In verse 8 of Psalm 107, it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. If that's all we thought about, God, you've saved me. You've extended mercy. And truly, I've not known a day of hunger and thirst and a lack of shelter. Yeah, but I have that every day. Lord, help us. Lord, help us, lest we forget. Lest we forget the Lord for his goodness. Let's praise him. God, thank you. Thank you. Truly in our heart, be appreciative for what God has done. Number two, not only has he provided eternal and daily provision, but number two, look at Psalm 107, starting in verse 10. Verse 9, it says this, he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Ever do that? Ever tell God? Ever go against God's principles? How's that go? Horrible. It goes awful. Because there's this overwhelming, unparalleled truth. God is always right. And you can't fight that. You can't go against it. You could fight it. You could rebel against it. But I'll tell you this, you're going to be miserable. There's a group here that rebelled against the words of God. Hey, how about the first time someone came by and told you about the Lord Jesus Christ? You scoffed them. You laughed. You mocked them. You rebelled against the words of the Lord. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. And look at verse 13. And they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. My kids were watching the show the other day. It was kind of like a hidden camera kind of show. They set people up to see how they would respond. And the case was this. It was a volunteer. They would sit them at the table, and they had a bowl of like soup or something like that, and they could put three different levels of hot sauce in the soup. So it was either medium, mild, or I think the third level was death. The other volunteer is sitting on the other side of this non-transparent glass, so they couldn't see. You could see them, but they couldn't see you. And they were about to eat that soup, whatever you put in. But they set it up in this way. When the person that was choosing walked into the office, they had the person that was going to receive the soup on their phone and bumps into and knocks into the person that was about to make the choice of the different hot sauces. And they were rude. So that person now, the rude actor, is sitting on the other side of the glass. And there that person, all of a sudden they bring up the glass and they see that person. Everyone goes for death. That guy was rude to me, so I'm going to make him burn from the inside out. How about the man that said, God, you're a liar. I don't believe any of it. It's a sham. It's all of that. And then all of a sudden humbled and says, God, I was terribly wrong. God says, death. Hot sauce. No, that's not what he does. And they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. See, God's not like you and I. He holds no grudges. When we get ourselves in trouble, he doesn't sit back and go, see, I told you. Not one time. God, please help. I'm here, son. I'm here, my child. Not only does God provide pardon or provision, he provides a pardon for those that were bound in darkness. Without hope, it says. He brought them out of darkness, out of the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. And then he makes this plea. Is it sad to you and I that he would have to make this plea? For what he has done for us, Oh, that man. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Why are we ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ if I've mocked him and made fun of him and nailed him to the cross, and yet in my distress I come to him and he saves me? I'm out of my hopeless, darkless state. And then he says, oh, I wish that my children would just praise me for the wonderful works that I've done to the children of men. It's sad that the God of heaven would have to make a plea for you and I to do that. Why is that? Because we have grown callous to the goodness of God. We are bound in darkness. There was no hope. Hold your hand in Psalm 107. Go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I hope you understand you didn't deserve salvation. John chapter 15, verse 4, it says this: abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The Bible says this: for without me, ye can do nothing. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you are hopeless. You are bound. There is no hope outside of Christ. And the Bible says in verse 13, in Psalm 107, and they cried unto the Lord. Have you cried out to God in the time of your trouble? If you have, he saved you out of all of your distresses. Isn't it good to be saved? Isn't it good to not have to worry about that? To have your sins pardoned. Man. See, it's because I was such a... You rebelled. You condemned the counsel of the Most High. You mocked it. You weren't a goody two-shoes. Remember that phrase? That was when I was growing up. No, we were a mess. We were bound in darkness and without hope, and yet God pardoned us. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Sad that the Lord would have to ask such a thing. But he does. And let us remember that. Number three, Psalm 107 and verse 17. Psalm 107 and verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Hey, can we just stop there for a second? Can we just stop blaming the Lord for the troubles that we have in our life? When you go against God and you choose sin and iniquity, you know how that works out? Awful bad. You're a fool. That's what it says. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Do you see the pattern here? God delivers. He, as we continue the passage, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Not only does God provide for us eternally and daily, he also pardons us. Number three, he provides protection. Isn't that what it says? He delivered them from their destructions. Yesterday we were driving back down route. I don't know what route we were on. When did the snow squall hit? Was it 95? 95, drive 95. No, we weren't driving 95, brother. Hey, your thing beeps every now and then, like if you get high speeds. Never mind. Yeah, okay. No, it is not. It's 27. There's no way I was doing 20 over. That's the dumbest man I ever seen. So there we were. We're driving, and all of a sudden, snow squall. Lord, get me out of this. I hate this. White nut. All of a sudden, both hands are on the wheel, right? Silence in the vehicles. Kids know. You don't even have to say anything. Lord, protect me from destruction. How often do we put ourselves in harm's way? Why? Because we're a fool. And we sin. And God provides yet protection for those that do such things. He says this in verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And declare his works, look at now. And declare his works with rejoicing. That seems somewhat of a natural process. It seems like we shouldn't have to be told that because God saved us from the consequences of our sin, that provides for us daily, that he has pardoned us from the consequence of that, that he provides protection from that, that he shouldn't have to say, you should rejoice and praise me. He uses the word sacrifice. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. It should not be a sacrifice to us. It should be natural. And yet he calls us to that. Romans chapter number 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That sounds about right. He saved me. He extended me mercy. I've never had a need. He's delivered me out of the foolishness of my own sin and continually protects me. It's no sacrifice to give of my life back to him. Back in Psalm 107, it said this, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works. And it uses this next phrase, with rejoicing. Our theme for this year is to rejoice in the Lord. And if reading over this passage, we go, yeah, I just got no joy. Can we stop and think about where you were? Can we remember some of the cries that we made out to God and how he delivered us out of our distresses by my own doing, right? A pardon and protection. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. God is good. We ought to praise him. Lastly, as we continue the passage, Psalm 107, let's look at verse 23. The Bible says, they that go down to the sea in ships and that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, and they go down to the depths of their soul and is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, stagger like drunken men, and are at their wits' end. And here's the repetition, verse 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. What do we see here? We saw his provision, we saw his pardon, we saw his protection. What do we see here? We see his power. There we are in the midst of a storm. The waves, it describes it, I think it maybe uses a little exaggeration, but it goes all the way up to the heavens and all the way down to the depths. And we're in the midst of that. We cry out to God for help, and all of a sudden, His power brings peace across those stormy winds of our life. Have we not been in storms personally? Ups and downs. And yet God brings calmness and peace. They cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and what does He do? Just like He did before, He delivers. All of a sudden the storm is calm and the waves are still. And then He makes this request. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. If you've ever been in the midst of the sea and being tossed about, as the Bible says, as a drunken man to and fro, unable to get your feet underneath yourself, and God brings peace. It's strange that He would ask of men to praise Him. What I think here is that sometimes men think that they did something to the storm. You see how we navigated that? Man, I got us right out of there. God says, can't you remember me? Lest we forget. Matthew chapter 19. God's power to... Look at this, Matthew chapter 19. We're almost done. Verse 25. God's power to save. When His disciples heard it, they were exceeding amazed, saying, who then can be saved? That's a great question. Understanding my sin and the holiness of God, that's an appropriate question. Certainly He's here using the parable with the camel and the eye of the needle. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I want to remind you, in the midst of the sea, as the waves are going up and down and you're trying to navigate through that thing, please remember that in your own hands, it is impossible. The quicker you just cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him for help and allow Him to help in your life, the better. Eventually, you're going to have to let Him take control. In yourself, it's impossible. But with Him, all things are possible. Here's a thought that often, we don't talk about often. Ephesians chapter 4. Not only does He save us, but listen to this now. There's an attack on this doctrine, and I'm just going to warn you. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Once your sins have been forgiven, they're done. Now, there's certain consequences of your own life that you can experience that, but you're never going to have to pay for that because He offered us something, Jacob. It's called eternal life. Those are His words, not mine. And the Bible says that we're sealed until the day of redemption. In John chapter 10, we're told that we get placed in the hand of God and nothing can get us out. Listen to these two words. You are eternally secure. There's an attack on that. Devil will attack that. Say, oh no, you've got to keep working. I did nothing to earn it, therefore I have nothing to do to keep it. Nothing. I can't. I couldn't. If it was left up to me, I'd be out. If it was left up to you, you'd be out. We are eternally secure. Man, that's a great way to wake up every day. Imagine waking up going, man, I don't know. I had a rough day yesterday. I'm not even sure if I'm saved. There's very few things I know for sure. Weather-wise, what's going to come throughout the day, I don't know. But every day I wake up, I know His mercies are new yet again, and I'm still His child. Guaranteed. Done. And that's only through the power of God. Done nothing to earn it. Can do nothing to keep it. It's not me holding God's hand. It's God putting me in His hand. He's able to not only save our life, He's able to keep our life. Oh, that we would just let Him control our life. When you try and run your own life, you're going to make a mess of it. The sooner we can get the thought of submitting to Him and just relinquishing all control, God, you do with me however you want. I'm not saying that's going to be the easiest path, but it'll always be the right path. And it's amazing how He has a way of taking the storms of life and making them calm. Psalm 107, go back there, please. Maybe you never left. In the midst of His power, there's another cry and then a plea. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Once again, it amazes me that seeing God provide eternal life, has pardoned me, provides protection, and now I get a chance to see His power, and yet He's still asking, oh, I wish my people would just praise me. Can I ask you this morning, is your life one that praises the Lord for His goodness? I got nothing to praise God. I invite you to read through Psalm 107 again. Let's all stand. There's a principle that is rehearsed over and over again in this passage, 4 times. There's a mess. There's people crying out to the Lord, and God in His mercy delivers them. I ask you this morning, where are you at? Where are you at? Say, I'm in a mess. Why don't you cry out to God? Hey, my phone is on. You can give me a call. We can pray together. We can talk. But why don't you cry out to the Lord? Why don't you cry out to God and say, God, I can't do this. I don't know what I've done. I've made a mess of things. I need you to fix all of this. God says, I'll gladly. No grudges. And He's done that time and time again in our life. And then the invitation is, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this passage. Thank You, God, for all that You've done. God, thank You for Your mercy. I thank You for salvation, eternal. God, thank You for granting pardon. Thank You for Your protection. Thank You for allowing us to see Your power. Lord, in my own heart, I'm ashamed to say that there's been times when I haven't praised You for Your goodness. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me to daily think of these things and have a heart of rejoicing. Lord, bless this time of invitation now. God, that You'd be honored and praised with our thoughts and with our prayers. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?